This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. For more than 20 years, helping people look forward to their retirement years with confidence. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Invest Talk. It is March 1st, 2017, and I appreciate you being with me. Do you consider yourself a better than average investor? Whether you're a seasoned pro or a seasoned investor or someone who wants to get better performance from your 401k, we're here for you. That's what this is about, trying to get better performance. And to do that, you have to understand how things work. It's not that complicated. If you can just bear in mind that stocks go up when earnings go up, stocks go up when everybody gets excited, stocks go up when people think earnings are going to go up. You know, stocks go down when people think earnings are going to go down. Stocks go down when earnings actually go down. It's that simple. But when they go up and down is the most difficult part. And you have to also understand that there is a bias of the market to go up. So, and besides this program, by the way, you know, which is, of course, answering your questions and try to get you to get more information in your hands and make decisions, I do other things too. We have our weekly newsletter that comes out every Friday, e-newsletter. We have our insider program, our portfolio reviews, and our wealth webinar workshops. And we have a workshop coming up, by the way, later this month, March 25th in San Jose. It's one of the, it's a Saturday, morning, 9 to noon. And we only have one or two of these a year. It's going to be at the San Jose Hyatt House in San Jose. Now, the wealth workshop is all about learning. This one's going to be about the professional approach to accurate research, fact-based analysts, and winning strategies. How to do that? Here's your chance to peek under the hood of a registered investment advisor firm, us. How do we do our research? What kind of tools do we use? What kind of tools are available for you to use? And how to develop strategies. You know, it's all about teaching. It's all about teaking this webinar. You'll learn how to streamline your own research, find data you need to conduct stock analysis, and it's on the internet. We're going to show you where it's on the internet. Now, of course, you could buy data like we do, but you don't have to. But it does help. You want the best data as you can, but you still can do it with data you can find on the internet. We're going to show you. We're going to show you how to do that. Remember, there's thousands and thousands of stocks to choose from. How do you whittle those down to what you're looking for? How do you know what you're looking for? What kind of strategy are you trying to put in place? So that we're going to learn. We're going to teach you. And this is something I like doing. I'll find this very interesting. We're going to teach you how to find your own stocks. Do not buy stock tips, somebody's suggestions, or buy the top 10 list. That's not how you look for stocks. You will find none of that in this wealth webinar. Okay? You'll find none of that because that doesn't work. Never has worked. So save the date, March 25th in the San Jose Hyatt House, 9 to noon with a continental breakfast, lots of coffee and snacks too. Our online sign-up will be open very soon. Justin and I hope you'll be there. We really hope you'll come. So we'll have those sign-ups ready very quickly. So do you have questions about measuring risk in your own portfolio? Right now, right this minute, because we're live. We're ready for any money questions. 888-99-CHART. So let's go ahead and get to the phone to take the first question on our 24-hour listener line.
Hi, Steve. I got a question for your show. I am a brand new investor. I started working 1 year ago. I know how the compound interest works, and I know the importance of saving. So I want to save $5,000 right now. How can I get the benefits of compound interest after 10 years? What can I do with that $5,000 to get compound interest benefits after 5 to 10 years? Where can I invest that amount without losing it? Thank you.
Okay, if you're going to do $5,000, the best way is probably open up an IRA. And you can put 5,000 in. That way you have 5,000 that you can deduct from your adjusted gross income, pay no income tax on that $5,000. Invest in the IRA, open an IRA, put it in the IRA, and then you're going to have to take risk if you want to make it grow fast. If you don't mind not growing fast, then you buy, CD with it. You can open up an IRA at your bank and buy CDs. And just keep reinvesting the income, but it won't be very much. Sounded like you're not very old. I would clearly, if I open up an IRA and I have 5-10 years, I just put it in an index fund, an ETF, probably the S&P 500, SPY. I just buy the ETF for SPY, $5,000, leave it alone, walk away, come back 10 years later and see how much money you have. You will have money. It will grow. They're driven by a cause like reducing waste, applying that desire to all investment types, investing for good, passion versus profit. That's one of our talking points. I'm not a big proponent of this, but if you are, we're going to talk about it. I also want to talk about the economic numbers that have been coming out this week. They haven't been all that stellar. No one's, of course, reporting on them. They're not terrible, it's just not very good. So I want to talk about some of the numbers that have come out this week, and there's been a lot of numbers. And the Dow went over 21,000. That was the second fastest run of 1,000 points for the Dow. Second fastest for 1,000 points on the Dow. Why? Why did it run up? And what was the first fastest, by the way? More Americans want to downsize than to upsize in their houses. That seems pretty reasonable to me. Remember, we got all these baby boomers that are in bigger houses, and maybe they don't want to be in the bigger houses. And I think that's the phenomenon you're facing. Why I think that? Because I'm one of those baby boomers. And I know a lot of other baby boomers are thinking the same thing. I'm not necessarily thinking it, but it wouldn't bother me. So I'm just part of that group, I think. But we're going to talk about it. Why more Americans want to downsize and upsize in a house. And that's what we're going to talk about. The market was up big today, 303 points on the Dow, 79 points on the NASDAQ, and 32 points on the S&P 500. It was all because of Trump's speech last night. That's it. Remember, earlier this week I said that, or even last week, I've been saying it for several weeks, that this whole move is all about what Trump says. Not what he does, because he hasn't really done much, but what he says he's going to do. And the proof in the pudding is going to be, is he going to be able to get it done? He says he's going to have massive tax cuts. He says he's going to have $1 trillion spending. He didn't say, give us any details about that. How's he going to do that without getting a huge more deficit? He says he's not. He's going to reduce massive onerous paperwork and red tape. See, these are all good goals, okay? Let's say they're good goals. The market likes it. Investors like it. But you better turn these into facts. That's the problem, turning them into a fact, not just talking about them. You can talk up the market for some time, as long as the market believes you. As soon as they have any doubts and belief, the market's going to fall. But what if he does succeed? The market will keep going up. No one really knows. You don't know. I don't know. But I can tell you this, market's very overvalued, getting more and more on the extreme sides. Now, what has to happen? To make it become normal, revert to a normal market, you had to have a lot better growth in earnings, or stock prices have to come down, or a combination of both. It's not, the PE right now is around 18, that's for the S&P 500. What is the long-range PE for the market? About 15. Now you're going to say, well, 18 is not much. Well, think about that in percentage points. That's about 20% overvalued to the long-term average. Now, 20%, okay, it can get higher. It can. Trust me, it can get much higher. I mean, in the 1990s, we're looking at PEs of 30 for the market. 3.0, only 18 right now. because the dot-com was insane. There was no earnings. No, there was a lot of price increase, but very little E, you know, because of the dot-com. They didn't make money. Interesting things going on. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley. Of course, the way to learn to ask questions, any money questions is welcome, any of them, especially beginner questions. 888-99-CHARGE is our live listener line every weekday from 4 to 5 Pacific time. Let's go to Tichelle in New Jersey. Huh? Where in New Jersey are you, Tichelle?
Hi, Steve. How are you? I'm doing good.
Good, good. Where in New Jersey? Yeah. I lived in Parsippany, Troy Hills.
I'm from Princeton, New Jersey.
Know it well. I used to work there. I've worked there for several years.
Oh, is it? Wow.
Yeah, that's it's very really pretty nice. Down there.
I hear the podcast almost every day, and it's really helping me managing my portfolio. So I really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I wanted to know about ticker symbol INTC, Intel. I saw that it went down yesterday, and again, it plunged more today, even when the market was rallying forward. So wanted to know if it's the right time to buy it and what kind of inputs you have about that.
Well, Intel is undervalued, which is surprising compared to the rest of the market. Intel, everybody, of course, everybody knows who it is, $169 billion company. They're going to make $2.92, so almost $3 next year. So their PE is like 12. And their five-year average is 9 to 17. So it's not overvalued. It's kind of on a undervalued side. Very good return on equity, 21%. Recent sales in recent quarters have increased. Most recent quarter was up 10%. So yeah. I'm not sure, and they pay a 2.9% dividend. I'm not sure why they aren't doing better, to be honest. But is one of those big blue chip stocks a core holding, Tuchel? So if you wanted to put it in your portfolio, I have no problem with it right where it is. I don't.
Okay, perfect. Thanks a lot for your input.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Robert in Pleasanton. How you doing, Robert?
I'm doing well. How are you, Steve?
Good. Thank you for the call.
Hey, Palo Alto Networks. I bought this stock a couple months back, and everything was going along real well until today, and now I've lost all of what I gained and then some with what happened today. So just
what's the symbol on that?
PANW.
Oh, okay. PANW. Okay. PANW. Okay. Palo Alto Networks. There you go. Let's go back. I'm putting it all in my software, everybody. It just takes a little time. Here we go. Provides network security infrastructure products for enterprises, services providers, and government entities. Well, what happened? It must have been bad earnings today because fundamentally the stock looks pretty good, except it's expensive. It's going to make $3.69 per share next year, but that's 33% increase. This year you're going to have a 40% increase. Sales are growing 25, 35, 40%, even though they may have. So what had to happen is that sales must not have met expectations or earnings must not have met expectations. There's something disappointing about it, and that's what happened. It has to happen that way. You own it right now, right?
Yes, I do.
I'd hold on to it. You don't want to sell on a day like today, that's for sure. You know, you might get a little retracement. I would not be in a hurry to sell this right now. I would not, because it's right at where it should hold support. $117 is support, and it's $115 right now. So give it a couple of days. Let's see if it bounces. It's a good, strong stock, though, Robert. Numbers look pretty good. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. Before the hour's up, I want to answer your questions, so give me a call. We're live, 4 to 5 Pacific time. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what do you guys want to talk about? Let's talk about why investors invest with a conscientiousness over profits. And this is an article you can read on our website. And this is why the first paragraph is why I don't like this idea. Now, I understand that maybe people want to invest this way, but in my own mind, we invest to make money. We invest to secure our retirement. We don't invest to make because we want to do good. If you want to do good, I don't have a problem with that, but not in investments. One, I would give it to charity or start a foundation or whatever else you want to do. But this is the first paragraph. Seth, I'll just give the first name, who owns an auction house in New York City, has focused his investments on renewable energy and recycled products. Nothing wrong with that. He has done so over the last 5 years, despite steadily losing money on the strategy. So he's buying renewable energy stocks and recycled product stocks, but accepting the fact that he's losing money all the time. Now, for me, that doesn't make sense. Why invest? Why not just take the money and give it to charity? You'll have more money to give to charity if that's what you want to do. And you can do better causes. But investing is investing. Investing is to make money. Investing is to make profits. And whatever you do with that money is up to you. Investing is not to in my opinion, investing is not an avenue, a path to do good. And that is a charity. So if you want to be a charity or give to charity, no problem. I understand that. I'm all for it. I'll pat you on the back. But don't invest to thinking you're going to make money and do and be a charity also. It doesn't work. So you can avoid those stocks. I'm not even suggesting you have to invest in stocks that are against your principles. Okay. But you're investing to make profits. Stay away from those companies that, you know, conflict with your principles. But you're investing to make profits. You invest. That's what it speaks for itself. The word investment. So this is not something I think you should be doing. I think everybody should give to charity or do charitable causes. I'm okay with that. But not when it comes to investments. Investments to make money. That's it. You can buy socially acceptable investments that do good, but they better make money. They better be growing their earnings. All those things that I constantly talk about on this show. They do that, I have no problem. And they're not overly expensive. But to invest and for 5 years and lose money? 5 years? Come on. You're not investing. That's not investing. Let's go to Bobby in Atlanta. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, good, Steve. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for the call.
L Brands. L is Larry, B is a boy.
Okay. L Brands. That operates 3,000 plus, 3,005 franchise, 738 specialty retail stores in U.S., Canada. L Brands, Inc. Okay. They are growing slowly, between 2 and 5% sales growth every quarter. Earnings are going to be down this year. Well, and this is their 2018 fiscal years. It's because some companies have it different dates. And they're going to be down, but then rebound a little bit next year. And they're going to make $3.47 on a stock that is $52. So it's fairly inexpensive, cheap, compared to its earnings. Okay, so does it have a lot of debt? I can't tell that yet. Good cash flow. Pays a pretty high dividend, 4.5%. It's a $15 billion company. It's not small. So let's see. Alpha, beta. I'm looking at all the various numbers. It looks like a pretty decent company. Do you want to buy it? Is that what you're thinking?
Yep, I want to buy it.
Okay. Well, Bobby, this. It's fallen for about a year, but it looks like it's gotten to a point where it looks pretty inexpensive at this point.
Okay.
So maybe this might be the entry point here. If it drops below $49, it's $52.82. Drops below $49, I'd probably get out because that's where the bottom was. Week or so ago. If it goes below that, I think I don't know how far down it's going to go, but I think you could roll the dice here, Bobby, because it's a good, solid company paying a pretty darn decent dividend, and you got insiders buying. So I think this is where you would be a buyer, and if you could be patient, I'm sure it'll work out.
Okay. Right. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Bobby. Appreciate it. LB is the symbol, everybody. L Brands. Not sure. I would like to know why it's fallen over this period of time. Because earnings have gone up, it got up to $3.99 in 2016, then $3.74 in 2017. So that maybe that's why it fell a little bit. Interesting. Good company though. Good company, good fundamentals. It looks like it. This is where it should stop falling. We're at the halfway mark, everybody, on this Wednesday afternoon on Invest Talk. I appreciate you being with me. So let's hear your money questions. Do you have some? 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. It's a big picture kind of thing. A portfolio checkup with Steve. It's a personal review, one-on-one meeting that allows you to collect your retirement accounts, answer some questions that Steve might have for you about your goals and your current life situation. And for the vast majority of those who have met with Steve, it's been a turning point.
What I hear from these people is it gives them a good sense of where they are. And you know what it is? It's somebody else giving you a fresh opinion. Because, you know, when you're dealing with your own stuff day in, day out, you might lose sight of the bigger picture.
So if a personal talk with Steve seems like a good idea, go ahead and set a time for yourself. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. Or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. And remember, you can suggest your own date, too, for a face-to-face, Skype, or telephone meeting with Steve. And the folks at KPP Financial will do their best to make it work. On our next Invest Talk, one decision-making aid is the bucket strategy. Breaking your portfolio into pools of money. Reduce stock exposure in retirement or increase it. Find out. That's one of our topics next time on Invest Talk. We hope you can join us.
Hey guys, love the show. Matt from Minneapolis here. Wondering on this stock, Mercado Libre. I don't know the ticker symbol here, but it's like the Google of South America from what I've learned and so forth. It's had a good run. Looks like it has legs to keep on running for quite a while. What's your guys' thoughts and opinion on this stock? I'd love to hear them. Love the show. Listen all the time. Thanks.
MELI is the symbol. Mercado Libre Inc. out of Argentina provides online marketplace electronic payment service in Latin America via MercadoLibre.com. Okay, it makes money. It's growing its money pretty fast. It's growing its sales pretty fast. Fundamentally, all those are very strong. Earnings are going to grow 23% this year, then 32% next year to $5.61 a share. Sales are growing from 29% 3 quarters ago to 37% to the most recent quarter, 42%. Okay, and because of that great numbers, so those great numbers, the stock has really done well. It's at $211.17, up and up and up and up for the last year. I mean, from 80 to 200, I mean, in a year. And therefore, this is where you say, oh, wait a minute. Well, how much is that? It's a 61 PE. The five-year PE range is 27 to 61. Return on equity is a very high 40%. All the fundamental numbers are great, and that's why the stock is so expensive. Now, if the numbers maintain themselves, sales keeps growing, earnings keep growing, the stock will probably keep going up. The first hint of a little hiccup, stock is going to crash. It'll fall very hard. And you got to remember where they are, so you have the currency translation as an issue as well. So just be very careful. For me, it's up and up and up and up, 52-week highs, it's up a dollar, up 1.63%. Today to $3.38, it's too high for me. It's too risky for me. This is one of those things you ride it until it falls, but when that happens, I just don't know. Yeah, it could go up much higher. It could, as long as it keeps up with the sales and earnings growth. Remember, this is a growth stock that if it maintains the numbers. Just like any growth stock, as soon as they start slowing down, that's when they get hit, and they get hit hard. Let's go to Art, Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the call.
Sure. I just wanted to find out your preference if you had a choice on Walmart or Dollar Tree. I was thinking about picking one or the other up because of the downgrade, I guess, in retail at this point.
Yeah, well, I kind of like them both. We own Walmart, so I like Walmart because they're so big and safe, you know. A Dollar Tree I like because, you know, they're pretty consistent in sales growth and they're growing faster, and they're also big and safe.
Yeah, they seem like they had a sell-off earlier today, I guess.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, and today has a...
Even though they had seemed like decent earnings.
Yeah, I saw that. It seems like these stocks are not doing so well. And this is an area where you're getting some good, getting better value. A Dollar Tree, you know, they are solidly at a bottom because it's like three, four triple bottoms, right around $74 or so. And I like it because it looks like that's going to hold. And here it is at $76.84. It had a big run up today, run down today, and kind of settled in the middle of the run today. So
yeah.
It had a big movement both up and down today. I kind of like it where it is, Dollar Tree. Walmart is a bit different because it's so much bigger. You know, it. For instance, Dollar Tree is an $18 billion company, which is a very large cap company. But Walmart is a $216 billion company. You know, as far as size, Walmart is much bigger. And Walmart is much less expensive. On a PE basis.
Oh, okay.
On a PE basis. But
okay.
Walmart has much slower growth, 1%. Yeah. One. So,
okay.
I like them both, Art. I really do.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks
appreciate it. Thank you. Let's go to Rosario in San Diego. How you doing, Rosario?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for the call.
Hey, so I got a question, and it's kind of. Bouncing off the topic or something that you mentioned in your last episode, you mentioned something called or something similar to the term recency, or about how people pick an asset class because it's done really well recently.
Yes, it's called recency. Yeah.
Okay, recency.
And what that means is you take, for everybody else, Rosario, it means you take what's happened recently, just in the last month, week, 2 months, 6 months, and you automatically project it forward, think it's going to keep happening. That's not necessarily right. Matter of fact, many often it's wrong. So go ahead, ask your question.
Okay. So this is a question regarding real estate and how maybe that concept can apply to real estate.
Yes, it can.
So I'm getting new into investing. I'm new into investing. And my father, he invests in real estate. Mm-hmm. And he started investing in probably the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And he started investing in real estate. And that's when, from what I understand, I'm a lot younger than that, from what I understand, that the interest rates are way higher than they were now.
Yes, they are.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he started investing, my idea is that the real estate market only got better because interest rates were going down.
That is correct.
Is that true?
That is correct.
Okay, so now.
And now it's just the opposite.
Okay, I'm sorry.
The next 5, 10, 15 years, interest rates are probably going to creep up.
Okay. And so, yeah, because the Fed just raised rates in December. Now they're about to raise rates in March here. It's probably. So you think that asset class is going to be on a downswing now instead of on a rise?
I won't say downswing, Rosario, but I will say it'll be under pressure going forward. It won't be nearly as easy or as good as it has been with interest rates falling. That is with interest rates falling, it's like a wind at your back on real estate, okay? Because people can keep buying bigger and bigger prices, homes. More people can qualify as interest rates fall. Now you got a wind in your face in investing in real estate because now it's going to be more difficult for people to qualify because rates are going to go up. Therefore, you can have a harder time qualify. Less people coming into the market because of that. Now, it's not the only factor, though, Rosario. It's not the only factor. It's just one of the factors. Okay?
Okay.
But it is a factor. You're right.
Go up for, you think interest rates will go up for, like, 10 years?
Yes, I do. But I think it's going to be really slow.
Right, yeah. Right, 0.25% at a time, but...
Yeah, it's not going to be a straight line. Appreciate the call, Rogerio. Thank you very much. Good call. Let's go to Dan in Palo Alto. How you doing, Dan?
Hi, good, Steve. Thank you. Just had a quick question for you about Twitter.
Uh-huh.
Was thinking it might be a takeover target or might be low enough to get in. Would you be a buyer, partial position, whatever?
Twitter, let's take a look at the number. You know, everybody knows who they are, but are they making money? Yes, they're making money. They're going to make 31 cents this year and then 41 cents a share next year. The problem is they made 57 cents a share last year, and that's why the stock is kind of hitting headwinds. And the sales growth has slowed. They used to be 20-30%, but the last two quarters it's 1-10%. So there's where your problem is. You had a lot of insiders buying before it bottomed here in May of last year. There were a lot of insiders buying. So I think this might be the around the low, $14 to $15. It's at $15.79, and yeah, that's still expensive. It still is expensive when they're only making 41 cents a share. Yeah, but I think that the space, they don't have hardly any debt. Management owns 11%. Mutual funds are buying. There's a lot of reasons why people like Twitter, and it will continue to go up. I think this is probably where you're going to be able to pick it up at a decent price. If they can turn around their sales going forward, which I know they're making a big effort to do that, and start picking up again, I think this would be the price that you're going to say, I should have bought it, Dan.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. That's great help.
Okay. Good luck. Twitter, TWTR. I have a trouble buying it myself, people. You know, I like to buy things that are inexpensive. You can't say it's inexpensive. You can't say. But it's one of those growing companies that if they can pick back up, and I think they will, then the stock will start rising sharply again. And, you know, it's already come down from 25 down to 15. That's a pretty big drop. It could go lower, yes, but I still think this might be the place to pick it up. Okay, economic numbers out this week. We're having a lot of them. Some of the highlights, okay, and I talked about the GDP already yesterday, and I don't want to talk about it again. But the durable goods report came in, and it was up 1.8%. And just as a reminder, this is the most recent month, which would have been January. I'm sorry, February. Nope, January. Would have been January. Because we're in March now. I think it was. Anyways, the month before is a down 0.8%. So this is better than expected and pretty good rise. However, when you look at the internals of the durable goods, core durable goods, and those are the things that, remember, durable goods is buying, those things are sold that last 3 years or longer. So more expensive items. But the core goods are those that corporations buy. You know, new manufacturing motors and systems and whatever, manufacturing, the companies, corporations buying durable goods. That was down 0.4%. Down. Income rose 0.4%. They expected it to be up 0.3%, so a little bit better than expected. Last month, it was up 1.1%. Inflation up 0.3%, the same it was in the month before. So inflation is still... it's a little bit elevated than it was, but not out of control. Construction spending, it was up 0.1%, and they expected it to go up 0.6%, and actually went down 1%. So the numbers don't look that great. Stock market is totally ignoring what the numbers are saying. Totally ignoring it at this point. The stock market is ignoring everything except what's going on in Washington, D.C. What's coming out of there is what the stock market is totally focused on right now. So the numbers, they could be good, bad, and different. I don't think it matters right now. They're just being ignored. And that happens every so often. It just does. It's part of understanding how the market works. That's why I tell you, keep focusing on the earnings of the company. Eventually, their earnings will be rewarded. Give you an example, Apple. Have you been watching Apple? And I'm not suggesting you buy Apple, and we own Apple and have for some time in our managed account. But have you been paying attention to it? It had a huge update today, up 2.29%. And since it's a $733 billion company, it was responsible for a lot of the indexes making that big of a move. But, you know, Apple for the last couple of years have been just kind of, not that great, kind of moving sideways, down a little bit, up a little bit, but nothing to, as an investment, not very good. And then ever since the beginning of this year, well, actually, all you can go all the way back to last July, it is moving steadily up. Steadily up, 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 because why? Earnings are good. Earnings are not, you know, better than people thought they would be. Earnings, Apple's been making money every year, makes lots of money, has lots of money, and is not an expensive stock. And therefore, eventually the stock price will reflect the earnings. And that's why I think you're seeing in Apple. Let's go to Brian in Florida. How you doing, Brian? Brian, are you there?
I'm a long-time listener of your podcast.
Thank you.
I have a question for you about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Okay.
Okay. I heard they might be privatized, and I'm wondering about maybe a 5 to 10 year investment with them. Do you think that might be a good idea? In your opinion, you think
probably yes. Brian. They will never be skyrocketing for you. They'll never make 100% return, but they will be very consistent, and they're backed by the government. Even if they went privatized, government will probably still back them up. And I think a long term, just don't expect much return from them, but I think it would be a good investment.
I know a hedge fund manager or former hedge fund manager, Bill Ackman, has bought up a lot of shares of them, and he thinks, well, you know, they're like $2 or $3 a share, so he could really make out like a bandit. He could.
But
he thinks they'll go to like 23 or 47. Do you think they'll ever get to that point?
Yeah, that's a bit optimistic, but I think it could be. I think they could be a good investment for you. I do, Brian. I do.
Okay. Do you think now might be the time to jump in, or would you wait?
I don't see any reason to wait.
Okay.
I really don't. You know, it's hard for me to say. Well, gee, let's take Freddie Mac for instance. Federal Home Loan Mortgage purchases home mortgages. That's what they do. Sales are going up. Earnings are going up. It's not skyrocketing, but it's a good, solid company, and I don't think you can go wrong with it. You know, over time. Okay, they're going to make 90 cents this year, 81 cents next year. They're not going to make a ton of money, but I think the companies, they're solid, and this is where you'd buy them if you want to buy them. Appreciate the call.
Great,
thanks, Brian.
Great. Thank you.
You're listening to Invest Talk, everybody. Our last segment of the hour is coming up, but we can still fit you in if you want. Call 888-99-CHART. The Dow went to 21,000 today. And that was the second fastest it has risen, 1,000 points, to get to 21,000. It took 42 days. Now, the last time it did it was May of 1999, the dot-com era. It moved 1,000 points in 24 days. Now, try to remember, it went from 10,000 to 11,000. That's 10 points, 10%. From 20,000 to 21,000, it's only 5%. So it's not nearly as impressive as it was back then. It's impressive, but it's not as impressive. Now, this move, I think, in the 42 days, I think it kind of assures us that the Fed's probably going to raise rates here in March. I'm thinking that, see, they have a lot of cover to raise rates. Inflation still came in at 0.3%. It was 0.3% last time. Well, that's, you know, not as high as they would like to see it probably. But I think they're going to use the stock market inflation, if you want to call it that, as a reason to raise rates. I can see them doing it easily. So just be ready for it. What will it do? Well, it'll make mortgage rates go up. But I don't think it's going to really affect the housing market that much because it's not really that hot. It is in San Francisco Bay Area, San Jose to San Francisco. That market is crazily hot. But don't think just because you in that area, the market is crazily hot, that the rest of the country is that way, because it's not. Let's go to Jay in Fremont, where the real estate is pretty hot. How you doing, Jay?
Hi, Steve. Steve, I had a question on Target. It's fallen down to 58, and I was thinking to buy it. I wanted to know if you feel it's a good buy at this price. Thank you.
I actually do. I think 55, 56 is the absolute bottom if it goes down there. It had a bad, bad day a couple days ago, going from 66 down to 55, 56, 57. And now it's trying to hold there for the day or so. You might want to wait for a few days and make sure it holds this area. But it's awful inexpensive now. And Target is big. And they know what their problems are. And they're going to address them. I think they have good management. And meanwhile, while you're waiting, you're getting 4.2% dividend yield. I kind of like it in this area. I think this is a good price to pick it up. I might wait a few days, as I said, Jay, just to make sure that we don't get another leg down and that maybe trying to get it where it is at a bottom, you know, and you won't know that for several weeks to several months, but at least give yourself a few more days in this area to see if it holds, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks. That Target, everybody, TGT. And, you know, they're going to make $5.06 next year. It's a $57 stock. So sales have been slowly shrinking, and that's what's got to be turned around. But I think Target is the company that can do it. It can do it. Okay, TGT. Okay, more Americans want to downsize than to upsize. Now, I don't find that surprising at all. I don't. Because so many Americans, there's a whole slug of us baby boomers in big houses, that as we get older and older and older, we get tired of the expense, the utilities bills, the taxes, the maintenance, furnishings, repairing. The maintenance is, you know, I have that problem. I have a bigger house than I need. Believe me, I like my house, but I don't need this big of a house. But the costs are high. So I can see the desire. Plus, you have shows like, have you ever seen that show called The Teeny House Hunters, where the houses are like a couple hundred square feet on wheels? I mean, they're little houses. They're not trailer homes. They're little houses. Stuff like that, I think, you know, that show's getting popular. Stuff like that makes people think, maybe I should, what's wrong with changing your lifestyle? And it's kind of interesting. I just think that, I mean, you got, people want to downsize, and that does not surprise me. It shouldn't surprise anybody else. Meanwhile, on the other end, there's a lot of people that are going to be buying homes that haven't been buying them. That's what the age 30 plus age group. I think they're going to get the millennials. I think they're going to get more involved in the housing market. Our time is up for the hour. If you'd like to contact me directly with a personal message, just click on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, registered investment advisor firm. And on behalf of Justin Klein, everybody at KPP, thanks for being with us today. And let's plan on doing it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.